Inside Sports Medicine with Dr. T.O. Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Dr. Soriao's comments are meant for informational and educational purposes only and not as a treatment. His comments are not a substitute for a visit with your doctor. And now, Dr. T.O. Soriao.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. I usually don't give out the date of the show because every once in a while we will do a best of. Last year in 2019, we only did one best of. This year, we've done one. Yeah, we've done one. It was out of necessity. But today, I am going to give out the date. It is Saturday, February 29th, Leap Day. Do you know when the next time we will have a Saturday leap day is?
I didn't even think about that.
Yep.
A Saturday leap day.
Yeah. So
what's the importance of a Saturday versus a Sunday leap day versus a Monday
leap day?
Leap day
in and of itself is pretty remarkable.
I'm glad you asked. I had to set it up for Soriao.
Well, this is couldn't have been a better
could
setup.
Have been
Thank
better.
You.
Then you're welcome.
Thank you. So you guys all know that I have three kids in their 20s, and they are always looking for an excuse to party. Well, apparently, leap day party is a thing. So people have leap day parties. I didn't know that, but they do.
Oh, we're turning up tonight.
Well, so it's difficult to do a leap day party. What did that mean?
But, don't worry about it. Keep on going?
Yeah, keep going. We'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's hard to have a leap day party on a Tuesday. So I made the comment, well, couldn't be better this year. It fell on a Saturday. So there's leap day parties tonight. Well, guess when the next time a Saturday leap day will be? I looked it up.
16 years from now.
38 years.
Oh, wow.
38 years.
Yep. Mm. Just because it's every 4 years and something is...
It's got to move. Yeah, exact
calculations.
The next Saturday... you know what? I'm foggy. I'm not sure if it's 2038 or it's 38 years from now. But there's a 38 in there somewhere.
The math got foggy. Okay. Is it like Bernie
Sanders? Well, it's
because
I looked it up
math?
Earlier in the week and now I can't remember. But anyway, so it's going to be a long time before you have a leap day on a Saturday.
So what's your term if you say I'm going to party or I'm going to like have some fun?
I know where you're going.
Why is everybody laughing at me?
No. I'm just asking. I mentioned something, you stopped me, and I said, no, you just keep on going.
We're going out.
We're going out?
Going out.
Okay.
Yeah. What if you go out?
The new term. Well, the new term, and I'm learning this. I understand this is like outside of my, this is a newer term. This might be a millennial term. I don't know, but it's turn up. You know, I'm going to turn up tonight.
What if you're going out, but it's like you're really going out?
Like a New Year's Eve kind of thing.
You ain't coming home till late.
Yeah. Might have a little too much fun. What would you call that?
It's been a long time since that's happened.
Well, it's just the term you would use.
You're like going out on the town, or I don't know.
We're gonna go out on the town. Him and Blumenthal.
I'm not that old. just going to party. Yeah, okay. That's the term we would use.
All right, now you're gonna say we're gonna turn up this weekend. We're going to turn up for leap year Saturday. Text that to Abby.
And you're not talking about the vegetable.
Or my
turnip.
Or my white elephant gift for the TSM Sports our party.
What was that?
The Let's Get Lit.
And oh, yeah, that's another one.
And it was a Christmas tree. It was a little holder for your phone.
Oh. getting lit. That one's even more recent.
Millennial-ish.
We are in a very bad place right now.
Okay.
That's for the three people, millennials, who are up listening to us right now.
Yeah. Well,
oh,
so
they ain't listening to us.
Before I leave the leap day thing, now I'm having reservations about bringing this up.
Okay.
From time to time, we do movie reviews. You know, we do movie reviews. And it was actually on my pre-production list of things to talk about because last week we reviewed Parasite. This week I wanted to mention that I saw 1917. And I'm not going to say much about the movie. I really liked it. It was well done. But there was something very unique about the way it was filmed, and I'm glad that somebody gave me a heads up about it, because I would not have picked it up if I did not know. It was shot in such a way that it looked like just one long two-hour scene. There was not an edit. Now, of course, there were edits, but they did something computer-generated. So basically, the character was walking and moving for the entire 2 hours, and the camera followed him. It was such a unique way to film a movie. I've never seen that before. I brought it up to one of the nurses at the hospital yesterday, and she said she knew something was different about the movie but didn't know exactly what it was. But now that I'm told her about it, she's, oh, yeah. Very, very unique way to film a movie in that the entire 2 hours. Now, the story kind of lent itself to it because it followed this character on a mission from, and I'm not going to give anything away, but he basically it was filmed in, supposed to be in World War I, and he was supposed to get a message to the front line. So it followed him for the whole 2 hours where he went from where he was to the front line, and it was very unique. Other movies where, you know, it covers three different cities, et cetera, you can't do that. You have to have edits. But anyway, the movie review, 1917, watch it, if nothing else, just for that cinematography angle. But that's not where I was going.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not where I was going.
Dr. Mayer, have you seen 1917?
No. Dr. Ballard?
No.
Should I even ask?
No.
Academy Award nominated. Come on, guys.
I mean, am I supposed to because it's Academy Award nominated?
Well, everybody's talking about it.
Oh, I see.
Oh.
I'm talking about it.
Because everyone's talking about it. You gotta hear it. I think my parents taught me about that. Isn't that called peer pressure?
Well, I'm not even going to bring this up then because now it's going to make me look
even
worse.
Okay, here's the point I'm making. I think it's, Academy nominated movies, I think, yes, the way I think about it, yes, should be seen. I don't think it's my
obligation.
No.
Civic duty to watch.
It hasn't been a big draw for me to watch.
You guys have young kids.
That's what I'm saying.
So going to movies is kind of a luxury and you have to pick and choose what you're going to see. I get it because I was there too. But you're going to get to a certain stage where you and your wife are going to do date night and Karen and I do movie night. And we love doing that, and so we go to movies. And I talked her into going to the worst movie in the history of movies, Mamma Mia, 10 years ago with Meryl Streep. I squirmed. I couldn't stand it. But as a general rule, I kind of like romantic comedies. And my kids make fun of me. My sister makes fun of me. But I do like rom-coms. But anyway, there's a movie called Leap Year.
What?
Yeah. Oh, so there's a movie called Leap Year?
Yeah, it's old. It's about 10 years old. And it's all filmed in Ireland, and it's kind of corny, and it's not. But I'm a huge Amy Adams fan, so if you like Leap Year, this is a good day to watch it.
Can we rewind that term, rom-coms?
Yeah,
you never heard that.
I didn't know that.
I didn't.
Turnip.
Turnip. Turnip at the rom-com.
Turnip.
Turnip. Turnip to a rom-com.
Wrong vegetable at a romantic comedy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're gonna.
This show's going
turn
nowhere.
Up the.
And Scott's not even here.
I know. All right, so now let's go to sports medicine. So now that everybody's awake, by the way, I think we changed the clocks back next week. Yep. So that's good. So it'll be complete daylight.
Forward, not back.
Forward. You're right. Forward. So we talked about this last week a little bit. It's kind of unique to me how during the week there seems to be a theme in clinic. And I don't know if you have that, if you've noticed that same observation where it may be a week where you see three or four shoulder injuries or where you see three or four Achilles injuries or whatever. Well, the theme for this week, for whatever reason, everybody seemed to need a cortisone shot in my practice.
Hmm.
You know, I would go a whole month without giving a shot. But last week, heck, on Thursday alone, I gave four. And the question is, and this comes up. Well, I feel obligated to explain to people. Well, hey, Dr. Soriel, why does cortisone have such a bad rap, and why are you doing this to me? So I have to go on to this explanation as to, you know, what's the thing about cortisone. And just before we went on the air, Dr. Mayer was telling us this horrific story.
Don't use names.
I'm not going to use names. But go ahead and say it.
So,
because cortisone shots gets a bad rap because of that.
Well, so I guess in our world, in the medical world, it every specialty is different, and even, you know, as orthopedists who deal with cortisone a lot, other specialties know about cortisone, and so they feel, well, hey, why don't we just use it when I have an ailment? Well, they may not know when to use it, how to use it, where not to use it in that kind of in that setting. So I had a patient who was in the medical industry, as well as the other colleague who injected this patient into their Achilles, around the Achilles tendon, because they were having bad Achilles pain. Well, 3 weeks later, they destroyed and ruptured the Achilles tendon, and now they're in my clinic. And they came first, so you know, you see a patient, you're diagnosing, you okay, you got an Achilles rupture. Tell me about you. Tell me how this happened. And he goes on to tell me the story, and I'm thinking, there's no way. Are you kidding? Like I almost was like, wait a minute, you are a physician, don't you know this? But it dawned on me, wait, you're not an orthopedist, but you are familiar with what cortisone does. Sure enough, 3 weeks almost to the day that they injected around the Achilles tendon, it exploded.
So for the lay people, cortisone is a very potent anti-inflammatory, and we've been using it for 50 years. It's a great anti-inflammatory if you've got bursitis or something to that effect, where you put a couple of drops of anti-inflammatory in there, and it has fantastic results. But we learned from 1940 that you don't put it in tendons because it weakens the tendon and they rupture. So even though it's a wonderful, wonderful tool, and I use it all the time, there are certain don'ts. And that's one of the don'ts.
Oh, man. I mean, that's like the first don't, probably, that we learned in sports medicine. Do not inject cortisone in an Achilles specifically.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not the first don't. It's the only don't.
Like, specifically the Achilles, do not inject, you know, in the Achilles.
Yeah. That's true. That's probably about the biggest don't.
It's probably the only don't.
You know, you can go into joints. You're pretty safe with that. You can go into, you know, the bursa.
We've been talking about subacromial space. You can even miss it completely and somewhat okay.
Well, you're talking about missing them. So if you, okay, let's say you miss and you don't inject it and you just deploy all the steroid into the subcutaneous fat, they'll get fat. They'll look like they have a hole. So I have a patient of mine that came in and said, I said, well, what are you here for? She goes, I have this weird hole on the side of my shoulder. I said, well, what happened? And so I'm looking at it. She hadn't disclosed she had a shot yet. And I'm looking at it, and she's looking around. She's like, doesn't it look swollen? I'm like, you have a big divot here. And so I'm like, you know, I'm kind of – it's not in the normal spot we inject people. It's off to the side. And it finally dawns on me. I'm like, ma'am, have you seen another physician
at
all?
Did you have a flu shot or something?
And had, mm-hmm. So I asked those questions. Flu shot. But I asked, have you ever had a steroid shot? She goes, you know, now that you mention it, my primary care physician gave me a cortisone shot for my shoulder bursitis.
So he didn't go deep enough.
They missed. Yeah. So she has a hole. It just looks like a divot, and pretty large divot. So we brought the ultrasound in just to see how much was gone. No subcutaneous fat.
Wow.
You see it straight down to the muscle, and you can almost just map out the where it must have been deployed. Wow. Right into the muscle.
All right, quick little break. And look, we're going to continue this conversation because I don't think I answered the question. So what is it about cortisone that makes it a bad thing? So we focused on, don't put it in a tendon because it weakens the tendons. Yes, yes, yes. But it got a bad rap because historically it was overused, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you about that. But the relevant aspect of it is Kemba Walker had a cortisone shot the other day, and it was all over the NBA. And they were talking about how common a thing that was. It's not really all that common. More when we come back. 855-787-1033. The text machine is 21,000. Start off with the four letters ESPN. Let us know how old you are, what you do for a living, where you're listening from. Last week, and I forgot to mention this on the air, last week our farthest away listener was San Francisco. I'm very curious as to where that individual might be this week. Well, not that particular guy, but in general. Inside Sports Medicine, coming right back.